So Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross, executed by the authorities on false charges of having disturbed the religious status quo. That's what it was. But when God allowed himself to be sacrificed for us like that, the power of sin and death was broken. And when Jesus was literally raised from the dead, he created a new reality for our lives. For God so loved the world. Why don't you say it with me, would you? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And that's the story of Easter, that God came to save the world because he loves you and me that much. But let's admit it, whether we've been around church our whole life or we are just here today to please a friend or someone in your family, if we are intellectually honest, this whole Easter story is a stretch. It's really hard to comprehend. How could anyone, first of all, possibly rise from the dead, let alone take away the guilt of someone else's sin? And yet, the resurrection story is the foundational story of Christianity. It's the bedrock of faith for over 2 billion people in the world today. And some of them are really smart people who don't buy into fairy tale happy endings. You know, there is something about the Bible that you may not know, and that is that we can trust, when we read the Bible, that when people had legitimate doubts about God, it's in the Bible. The Bible does not try to avoid people's legitimate questions. Now, if you were trying to write a book of propaganda to promote your new religion, you would not put that kind of stuff in there, would you? But time and again, the Bible proves itself to be honest and true when it comes to people's disbelief. And I think that's because God respects our doubts. He respects that. Even in the resurrection story that Susan read for us from Luke 24, one of the actual accounts of that first Easter, women went to grieve at the tomb that morning. Instead, they're met by angels who tell them that he's risen from the dead. Undoubtedly, they ran back to their friends, the other followers, and it says there in the text that the story they told sounded like nonsense, and the others didn't believe it. What would you have thought if somebody came and told you that he had risen from the dead? For that matter, what do you think right now? It took a lot of convincing to make it real for those early believers, and a lot of people here today are struggling with that as well. And then there was that second reading from 1 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul also points out how ludicrous Easter would be if Jesus hadn't actually risen from the dead. He wrote this. He said, "If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who've died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world." So what is it with all this Easter hype? For those who believe it or are trying to believe it, is it real or are we just to be pitied? That's the question. You know, Paul, the guy who just wrote that, his personal story tracked along those lines. Early on, he thought Christians were misguided and foolish. And before his conversion to faith in Christ, Paul didn't just not believe in the resurrection. He persecuted those people who did believe in the resurrection. And just a little caveat, you may have seen the news. Nearly 200 people died this Easter in Sri Lanka in several church bombings. And we grieve for the body of Christ today. People who believe in this story. And not everybody gets that. Earlier in that same letter to the Corinthians, the first one he wrote, he called out this. He wrote this. Paul said, For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But then he goes on to say, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The story of the cross, Jesus' death and his resurrection, is the power of God. To those who don't get it, or who don't really want to get it, the cross and the resurrection sound totally foolish. But for those who believe it, Paul goes so far as to say, it is the power of God. And if that's the case, if that's true, then it definitely impacts us. We cannot escape the fact that Jesus' resurrection is absolutely central to the Christian faith. It's not just about following a nice man and doing good things. C.S. Lewis was a brilliant professor at Oxford and Cambridge in England. He was a total atheist as a young man. Very, very smart, but did not believe anything about God. He came to faith when he was 31 years old, after having a number of conversations, but one particular long conversation with his good friend J.R. Tolkien. Among the amazing books Lewis gave us were the Chronicles of Narnia, and he famously wrote in another of his books, Mere Christianity, which some of you have read. I just reread it this winter. He wrote this. Lewis said, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. In other words, it's all or nothing. We can't say, okay, maybe Jesus rose from the dead, but then not respond in some way for what that might mean in our lives. It can't be just moderately important. Now, maybe you've never been able to really comprehend how God could love you so much that he would orchestrate such a grand story of redemption, of bringing you home, sending Jesus to die for your sins as if you were the only person in the world. Or maybe the power of the resurrection has been lost to you because of overthinking it, trying to make rational sense of it in totality. Or maybe today the full implication of Easter has never really broken into your heart. You maybe have it up in your head, but the heart has never gotten to the place of making a response back to God. We're all represented here today. And the common question, I think, for our human experience... Oh, by the way, can I say this? On Easter, we love the sound of children. Let's embrace that. The common question, I think, to our human experience today is how can we move from skepticism to faith? How could we, or how would we, suspend disbelief, even for all the thinking we may have done, suspend the disbelief and give faith a chance? The Danish philosopher and theologian and poet Søren Kierkegaard, he only lived to be 42 years old, but in that lifetime he gave us some profound thoughts about faith and how hard it is for some people to get there. He once wrote this. He wrote, thinking can turn toward itself in order to think about itself. Did you get that? And skepticism can emerge. And he said, but this thinking about itself never accomplishes anything. Have you ever been caught in that vortex? Thinking about thinking about thinking. Trying to make sense of something bigger than yourself, something so much bigger, you know, maybe than is even possible for human beings to fully comprehend. So much so that when you don't get it, you just despair into skepticism. I've known so many friends over the years who think so much about thinking. But as Kierkegaard would say, people who never get on to actually thinking about something. Not that we should abandon our brains, not for a moment, but we should put them to good use, and not just a continual loop of what Kierkegaard called thinking's self-deception. Thinking all day long about faith. thinking all day long about Jesus Christ, but then never acting on that. And it was Soren, you thought it was Ed, but Soren Kierkegaard actually gave us the expression, leap of faith. Sorry. And what that is not disregarding thoughtfulness, but rather choosing to believe something that's outside the boundaries of reason. Something outside the boundaries of reason. That, what we're thinking about today in that regard is considering the evidence of Jesus' resurrection and choosing to believe it. Soren also wrote that the leap of faith, yes, but only after reflection. Use your brain, but also your heart. I have this one friend who's a really deep thinker. Grew up with loving parents, very well educated, all of them, parents and himself. But it wasn't a home where faith was important. So growing up, Craig naturally had a lot of questions, and he still does. He questioned life, he questioned existence. He didn't know what to make of Jesus. But along the way, he made some Christian friends who invited him to church where he wrestled even more. And over the years, he would read a lot of the Bible and a lot of C.S. Lewis and a lot of Kierkegaard. And despite all of the rational arguments for faith, there was a barrier in his life, one that could only be conquered by a leap of faith. Choosing to believe. And he had a friend, actually. Craig had a friend who encouraged him to just put that into words. And so one day as Craig was driving across town thinking about Jesus, trying to make sense of it all, he quietly chose to make that leap. Right there in traffic in his Ford F-150 with the windows down, he whispered out loud, "I believe in Jesus." And immediately, he'd never said that. Immediately, he felt this sense of peace. And so he said it again, this time a little louder. "I believe in Jesus." He kept saying it over and over until he realized he was shouting out into the traffic and realized the other drivers were getting worried and they were looking at him, so he pulled over lest he cause an accident. Now, Craig is not a real emotional kind of guy, but he told me that something welled up within him in that experience because for the first time, with this heart of conviction, he had chosen to say, "I believe in Jesus." Have you ever said that? It didn't fit into Craig's rational, preconceived notions of how the world worked, but it felt right to say that. In fact, it felt true. And maybe this morning you're ready to say the same thing. Not just to sing the Easter songs and go through the motions of this day, but to say aloud the very thing that you may have been thinking about for a long time. To give voice today to what you may be longing to believe. That God, in fact, does love you so much that he gave his one and only Son. He gave him to you and to me to be crucified and to rise again so that we might have forgiveness and life. No one is watching you at the moment. They're all thinking about themselves, really. But God is listening, and he's the one that matters. So I'm going to invite you to say with me, "I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus." Amen. Let's pray. Well, yes, Lord, many of us right now do, in fact, believe in you. We struggle, but we join with one another here to proclaim that faith, to thank you for the gift of your amazing grace. While we were still sinners, you died for us so that we might know forgiveness and the experience of new life. And so we confess to you our brokenness. We confess to you our sins and our fears and cry out our desperate need for you. And so, Lord, draw us to your cross, where we remember the price you paid for our salvation, and yet knowing today that the cross is empty, that you rose from the dead, you broke the power of sin and death. And when we confess our sins, we know you forgive us. And you've given us the promise of eternal life in your loving embrace. And so, Lord, draw us now even now to the warmth of your affection as we celebrate your love with flowers and with songs and with joy in our hearts in the name of our risen Savior Jesus. Amen.